You turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, continuing in great book written by the brother of Jesus. James chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 26, the entire chapter. This is the word of God. This is the inerrant and infallible word. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, "You sit here in a good place," and you say to the poor man, "You stand over there or sit down by my footstool." Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, do not commit murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see, that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also without works, faith without works is dead. That is God's word. The first 13 verses discuss what it means to love our neighbor. To show partiality towards someone compared to another is against the law of God. That's what he says. And to do so based on outward looks or status in society. Here the example is showing the partiality between someone who's rich and the other who's poor. Sometimes we can show partiality based on how people look. We see them and we're like, you know, they might look to us to be weird or crazy. They dress kind of, odd. And whatever the reason is, we might see in our minds, we try to avoid them or try to talk to them. We avoid it. They may even, some people might even scare you just looking at them. Verse 4 says to not make such distinctions or become judges with evil motives. Now, basically he's saying there, if you see a guy and and he has a gun and a knife, and he looks like he's coming at you, then, you know, to judge him would be right to say, you know, this guy's trying to hurt me. That kind of judgment would be a good one, a wise one. But here is one where he says, judging with evil motives is the problem. And so the question is, if we have evil motives behind our judgments, is there something you wish to gain? If you have partiality, looking at one person compared to another, if you show partiality to one, what are you trying to gain out of that partiality? And through your partiality, are you thus, if you're favoring one person, are you thus persecuting the other person? What we are called to here is mercy and justice. Mercy, to show mercy to those who need it. If we're continually showing partiality to the rich man, well, the poor man needs to be shown mercy. But if we do not show mercy, we are found guilty, not just of one law, but all the law. If you have hate in your heart for your neighbor, but have kept all the other laws, you're still guilty of all the laws before God. So if you've lusted in your heart, if you become angry at someone, or in this case you've shown partiality, then you're guilty of the entire law of God, which here is described as the law of liberty. And verse 13 is given to show you that the judgment due to you for such sin, for such partiality, for such guilt that is to you because of any sin that you commit, is a judgment which is merciless, without mercy from God. The wrath of God will be poured out upon you. And for those who believe the gospel in true faith, which we're talking about here in the second half, those who have true faith in the Savior, that He has been judged for them. And so then mercy comes to the Christian. The mercy comes to the one who believes. And so the question there is then, well, if you've been shown mercy, shouldn't you show mercy as well? And the answer is, of course you should. Now, the second half of chapter 2 refers to that faith needed in Christ for salvation. And if we have true saving faith, he says, then that should not be a dead faith. It should not be a faith which is without good works, or without the fruit of the Spirit, without righteousness. It will not be alone. If you have true saving faith in Christ for salvation, more specifically for justification, that is, you are counted righteous in Christ, in the sight of God, then God will work good works in you. That's what he's saying here. He's saying the fruit of that salvation, the fruit of that justification, will be that righteousness which was imputed to you. That righteousness will start to spill out from you, and you'll produce good works and fruit. That's why he says that we are justified by our works, that those works show that forth that we are justified. And we learn other places where that we are truly justified by faith alone. And from that justification here, we're learning that works come forth from it. That works are not how you become justified, but are a result from that justification. And so now you think of the second half of the chapter and justification, how good works come from that. Now go back to the first part of the chapter. You think of partiality towards people. If you have true saving faith, you will be in the process. Perhaps it's a very long process, but you are in the process of growing less and less partial to some people compared to others. That's what he's saying. You'll be growing in your good works and your righteousness, and you'll be showing forth that fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, you know, all those towards your neighbor, towards all of your neighbors, not just some who may be rich or they might look good or whatever. And so if you're not growing, if you look at the opposite, if you're not growing in that, in your sanctification, if you claim to have faith, you say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ for my salvation, and yet good works are not coming forth. And over a long period of time, you look back and there is no fruit. And what James is saying is that though you claim to have faith, you might just have a dead faith. and you need to turn to Jesus. Just like we all do, because we're sinners, we need to turn to Jesus, come to Him, and believe and follow. And because then we believe and follow, then we should show mercy. Because mercy trumps judgment. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that You are the God who does not show partiality towards us. That is, that You do not, if You have, you know, Your all these people in the world, there is no partiality shown. The one who believes will be saved. You do not say to the one who believes, no, you cannot be a part of this group because you're a Gentile. But You actually brought in the Gentiles into Your family. And we praise You that You show no partiality in that family. You give us an eternal inheritance. And we thank You for that. We thank You for salvation in Christ. That there's only one way. There's not multiple ways. Not the rich don't get an easier way or to salvation. Scripture actually describes that it's harder for them because of their riches. And yet, You desire the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Father, may we be those people who are poor in spirit. And we pray that as You show no partiality, as we are in Christ and we have had true faith, we would show no partiality. And if there's any here who do not know You, who have not had true faith, maybe they look upon their lives and they think they're a believer in Christ, and yet there's no good works, there's no fruit. Father, we pray that You would bring salvation to them, that they would believe and trust in You, and that from You working in them by the Spirit, You would bring forth good works and fruit for Your glory. And Father, we pray that You would cause us as a body of Christ, as we're thinking in this context, in the church, that we would not show partiality towards anyone, even those who are visitors or who are even amongst this body, or even any people outside of this body, out in the world. Father, we pray that we would not show partiality, but that we would love our neighbor as ourselves, and we would continually proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, and proclaim the word to people, and encourage one another with the word. And Father, this morning we do pray for our government. We pray that perhaps as we see them showing partiality, that we would not follow them, but we would follow You. And we pray for their salvation. We pray for the salvation of those who are in authority over us, if they are bosses and our co-workers even, and even our inferiors, our children and those who work under us. We pray that You would bring salvation to Your people, to Your elect, and that You would even use us as instruments in communicating that gospel to them. And Father, we pray for those who are sick, who are not here this morning. We thank You for their lives. We pray for Bob and Marie and Sharon. I pray that they would be in strengthened to be able to be here this evening. We pray for John, wherever he is, and pray that You would strengthen his body, strengthen him and his soul. Father, we do thank You that Lauren is here with us this morning, back from college for the weekend. We praise You for that and pray that she would be blessed this morning. And Father, we pray that You would bless all of us through Your word, that You would open our hearts, that You would give us ears to hear this morning and this day, and that we would be worshiping You and not worshiping ourselves or whatever we desire. May You be given all glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.